Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up? What's up, everybody? I am your host, Supreme Litigant, and I am back this week on Smart Love Radio. Tonight, I want to talk about the Alabama prisoner protest that's been going on. It's been going on for about 2 days now. And basically, the prisoners in Alabama, they're protesting because of their inhumane living conditions and treatment on these slave plantations called prison. Because that's basically what they are. When you go to jail, you are a slave. Pursuant to, what is it, the 13th Amendment, it says, neither slavery nor voluntary servitude shall exist, or something like that, except as a crime for punishment or something like that. The word except. It means just what it says. So I'm going to read y'all something right quick. This was posted, actually, I think this was this today? Now, this was posted yesterday. Alabama inmates are in their second day, so they've been going on for 3 days now, in their second day of a work strike, refusing to labor in prison kitchens, laundries, and factories to protest conditions in the state's overcrowded, understaffed lockup. Prisoners including those who provide food, laundry, and janitorial services, refuse to show up for work at major state prisons again Tuesday, leaving staff scrambling to keep the facilities running. The Alabama Department of Corrections confirmed the work stoppage was still active in most male facilities. However, the department maintained that facilities are operational and there have been no disruptions of critical services. Anyway, I'm supposed to be hopefully having some callers tonight for the show. Give me a second, y'all. Because I really want people to get in on this. And where am I? Let me send this message out to some more people right quick. Tell them to call in now. There we go. Anyway, I'm hoping, if I get some more callers, I'm hoping to come up with some resolutions from people on the inside, hopefully, particularly mainly so-called jailhouse lawyers or prison lawyers or whatever, so we can get some lawsuits filed against these people, get some injunctions going. And to file claims against these public servant bonds that they have, because that is their insurance. They cannot hold public office without insurance. And all of them, and I mean all of them, have a bond. So, when I get some callers in, I'll elaborate on that. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to go ahead and just start elaborating on it. I remember, probably about 3 months ago this year, I settled a federal lawsuit in federal court with two police officers who I had sued. And, the officers who I had sued, they had an indemnity bond. They had, in other words, they had insurance. Like, they really had insurance, like tort insurance. That's what I call it, tort insurance. But anyway, they had insurance. And so the pretrial settlement conference, the insurance adjuster was there. So this is like a real insurance claim type thing, that transpired during my federal lawsuit. So that was very interesting for me. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read y'all some of this stuff. And if I get some callers, then I just repeat some of this stuff, or I just let them vent and just use my platform, so they can get their point across. Let's see. Let me go back here because I've actually been downloading, been coming up with some cases. But here is basically the purpose of the bond. This is a case from Alabama. The failure or refusal to perform this duty was an official dereliction, for which an action lies against the officer and the sureties on the bonds. The suit rests on the breach duty, not on the bond, and is therefore, and then there's some Latin words in there. So basically, you're suing, it's a suit against the bond and not for a contract, so to speak. That's what they're saying. But here's another one. This is from Corpus Juris Secundum, 67, section 46. It says, an official bond is an instrument by which a public officer undertakes to pay a sum of money if he does not faithfully discharge his office, or by which a surety undertakes that if the officer does not do so, the surety will be liable. This is insurance, ladies and gentlemen. That is what this is. This is insurance, and they cannot, I repeat, they cannot hold public office if they do not have a bond, period. Let me see. I'm about to check right now, see if I got any callers, you know, anybody listening with their hand raised or anything like that. So far, no callers. But anyway, these people, public servants, they cannot hold public office without a bond. This bond is their insurance. Okay, and if you file enough claims against their insurance company is going to drop them. That's what's going to happen. Matter of fact, the state of Alabama, which is a corporation, by the way, the state of Alabama has insurance. In fact, I have a copy of the policy right now on my office desk. They have insurance on all of their officers. You can find all of the bonds for all the so-called, you know, prosecutors, municipal judges, district judges, and circuit judges. All of those bonds, they're covered under the state's blanket bond. And you can find that bond with the that bond is it's filed with the Division of Risk Management. That's where that bond is. I want to say risk management is in I think it's in Montgomery, I think. Let me see, what else? Who else? The governor, the mayor, all of those people. If I'm not mistaken, all of their bonds, I want to say I'm about 99% sure, but all of their bonds are filed. Are filed with the Secretary of State's office. The only ones that I know of bonds who are not filed with the Secretary of State's office is the Secretary of State officer, you know, whoever that is. Their bond is not filed in their office. And the probate judges, the probate judges, their bonds are not filed in the probate judge's office. But they need these bonds. They can't hold public office without these bonds. And this is the way it works. It works just like a lawsuit. So, you know, you let's say a public servant, they injure you. They violate your rights. They don't say by not faithfully discharging their duties to hold public office. So you file a claim. You file a complaint, so to speak. And you in this complaint, you list facts relevant to proving what they did that warranted a breach, you know, to hold public office because they are trustees. Once you do that, the insurance company is going to investigate it. So y'all know how that shit go. That's basically what's going to transpire. It's a real deal, legit insurance claim. Just like if you're traveling down the road in your car and somebody hits you and they don't have insurance and you have insurance, so on and so forth, whatever, or they have insurance and you don't have insurance, whatever. You know, it works like that. That is how it works. Give me 1 second, y'all. Let me see if anybody's calling in. Give me 1 second. All right. Oh. Okay. Anyway. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Call in. Anyway, so yeah, right now I want to do some more reading about this prison protest in Alabama. I'm actually rooting for these people, you know, in Alabama prison because they're really bad. These prison conditions, from what I've seen, is really bad. In fact, there's a post with a gentleman, a black dude, somewhere in Alabama prison, and that post went viral. Like, it is really, really bad. That picture of him that I saw, that I'm quite sure everybody on the internet saw, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was on TV. It was really bad. So they really need to do something about this, because this shit, it's just way out of hand. Way, 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 way out of hand. All right, let me see. Here's another one. I think I see another one on here. It looks like we got one from about 3 hours ago. So let me read this one and see what they're talking about. Alabama inmates strike denouncing poor prison conditions. The exact size of the protests, which began on Monday, was not immediately clear, but advocates say thousands of inmates would forego their usual jobs and cooks and cleaners. And I don't blame them. You're not a slave. They don't have a right to treat you like that. Even if they did, fuck them. They don't let them treat you like you're not human. So I stand in solidarity with everybody who is protesting these slave plantations, because that is exactly what they are. When you go to jail, you are a slave. They call it a civil death. You're civilly dead when you go to jail. That's what they call it in legalese, which is in a law dictionary. It's just bad. It is really bad. I'm going to read some more. Thousands of Alabama inmate workers began a labor strike this week to protest poor prison conditions across the state, where facilities are overcrowded, understaffed, and notoriously dangerous. That is true. I've read cases about that shit in Alabama. The protest, which also calls for broader criminal justice reform, that I don't blame them, began on Monday. Dion Catwell, the president of Both Sides of the Wall and an advocacy group, said the organization is coordinating the strike with inmates across the state and predicted that about 80% of the roughly 25,000 people in prison would participate in the strike, foregoing their usual jobs and as cooks and cleaners. The strike, an uncommon occurrence in prisons, is intended to draw attention to the overcrowding crisis in Alabama prisons that has long shadowed governors and correctional officers. And they've known about this shit for a long time. They just don't do anything about it. In fact, Alabama, there's been so many lawsuits filed in federal court against Alabama about this shit, and they just stalled and stalled and stalled and stalled. So at this point, I probably wouldn't even file a lawsuit against them. I would just go ahead and file claims against their public servant bonds. That's what I would do, because they are directly violating orders of the Supreme Court. Like, they just don't give a fuck. They just think they can do whatever the hell they want to do. That's what I would do. I wouldn't even waste my time. If you get a good judge, then you should be good. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a great judge. He was a magistrate judge, by the way, but I was fortunate enough to have a great judge in my case, in my federal lawsuit case. Give me one, so I'm checking an order that I ordered in my business name. It looks like it's already shipped. Okay, cool. So that's shipped. But anyway, I'll go ahead and finish reading this. It also threatens to disrupt the prison system as officials take on the work the inmates usually do. Ms. Caldwell's husband, Cordarius Caldwell, 34, who is incarcerated at Ventures Correctional Facility on a murder offense, said by phone on Tuesday that inmates had received two sack lunches on Monday and Tuesday rather than the normal three meals. And not only that, this food that they are giving these people, this shit is not for human consumption. You can't, they cannot, they shouldn't even be feeding people that shit, man. It's just not healthy for you. That shit is going to kill you, man. Over a long period of time, it's just going to cause your body to get worse. I'm sorry, y'all. Let's see. I got a few people. They just listening. When they raise their hand, I bring them in. But yeah. Let me get back to the article. I'm sorry, y'all. Let's see. The Alabama Correction System, and I'm just reading the something from this this article that I'm reading that was posted 3 hours ago. The Alabama Correction System has drawn the scrutiny of the Justice Department, which released a report in 2019 that outlined severe systematic conditions. Yeah, this shit ain't nothing, it's not new. Conditions across the state's prisons that violated constitutional protection from cruel and unusual punishment because they were in danger of being raped and murdered. The report found that major prisons were at least 182% of capacity, and that prisons in Alabama system endured some of the highest rates of homicide and rape in the country. That's crazy, man. That is crazy. The Alabama Department of Corrections did not immediately respond to an email seeking comment on Tuesday. The department told the Montgomery Advisor that officers had deployed security measures since the start of the strike, but it did not share more details. Yeah, I'm quite sure they didn't. John Hamm, the commissioner of the Alabama Department of Corrections, told the advisor that all facilities are operational and there have been no disruptions of critical services. Willie Williams, an inmate at Stan Correctional Center in Elmore County, Alabama, said by phone on Tuesday night that he and dozens of other inmates were tired of the inhumane conditions at the prison, which he described as a filthy place that was covered by mold and overcrowded. That shit'll kill you. Mold will kill you. That shit will kill you, fam. Inmates and activists have been planning the strike since late June, he said, because of a blunt realization. There is nothing good that comes from the state corrections department. There's no rehabilitation. There's no compassion. Mr. Williams is serving a life sentence for a rape offense, which he said he did not commit. You feel me? They don't even care if you did it or not. They don't care. They just want you in jail. They want you in jail. I've seen police officers lie under oath. That ain't nothing new. They all do that. All of them working together. They in cahoots. All of them working together on this stuff, man. They want you in prison. They don't want to let you out, especially that parole board. I've heard stories that they deny people left and right. Just for no reason. Just they arbitrarily deny people. They're just trying to keep them in there. Then they're trying to use federal funds. If I'm not mistaken, unlawfully use federal funds to build these prisons when that's not the purpose that the funds were appropriated, you know, to the state for. Ms. Cartwell said the strike will continue until officials met their demands, including improved living conditions and creating a more transparent and streamlined parole process. The prisoners are calling for creating a review board to oversee the Alabama Bureau of Pardons and Paroles, and repealing the Habitual Felony Offenders Act, a law that results in longer prison sentences. Alabama fails over and over and over again to address this crisis that is going on, Ms. Cartwell said by phone on Tuesday night. Advocates from Alabama, Prison Advocacy, and Incarcerated Families United and other groups have been scheduling Zoom calls with inmates since late June, asking them to persuade other incarcerated people to participate in the strike. Ms. Caldwell said the calls were mostly with inmates who had influence among prisoners. We set a date and, you know, got the message out and got it clear that, hey, this is what we're going to do. If you guys want the freedom, you know, you have to walk in unison. She added, the strike comes a week after photos of an emancipated inmate, Costello Vaughn, captured the attention of thousands online. His sister posted the photos on Facebook, writing, get help. I think I've seen that photo. I mean, let me click on this. I really believe that this is the photo that I was talking about. Man, it's terrible, man. It is terrible. Let me see something. See something. Inmate signs waiver to release medical history. Okay, so he signed, Man, boy, they just trying their best to just sweep this under the rug. They trying. Looks like I know his sister. And they out there protesting. His sister out there protesting. That's love right there. That is love. Anyway, let me get back to this article, y'all. I'm sorry. I want to I just want to stay focused on what I was doing. So let me get back to that. Where are we at? Boom, we're right here. Okay, the Alabama Department of Corrections said in a statement on Tuesday that Mr. Vaughn had surgery for an obstructive bowel in August after a gunshot injury. In September, he was again hospitalized because of complications. The department said he opted to be discharged both times against medical advice and has refused medical treatment or attention since September the 7th. Yeah, I bet he did. All these people do is lie. All they do is lie. That's what they're saying, so I'm going to remain unbiased. Anyway, Lee Merritt, a lawyer who is representing Mr. Vaughn and his relatives, said in a statement on Tuesday that the family was trying to get him transferred to a hospital outside of prison. Mr. Vaughn's sister, Cassie, wrote on Facebook that if he did refuse medical help, it was because he was in a delirious state. Though Mr. Vaughn's case did not ignite the strike this week, Ms. Caldwell said, it did attract support from hundreds of Alabamians who protested outside the department's headquarters in Montgomery on Monday. Governor Kay Ivey did not immediately respond to an email seeking comment on Tuesday. Ms. Ivey and her fellow Republican lawmakers approved a plan last year to build two new prisons to relieve overcrowding. They should have did this shit a long, long, long time ago. What they're trying to do is they don't want to let anybody out of jail, so they're trying to keep everybody in jail and not, you know, just deny everybody parole and try to hurry up and build these new prisons so they can put everybody from these old prisons in there and seal up the other prison, the new prison that they got, because they're going to make money off this stuff, man. All these judges who sit on these benches, they have a financial interest in you going to jail, these prisons that they send you to. So that's automatically, they should be automatically disqualified from even hearing cases like this, because they have a pecuniary interest in seeing you go to jail. It's crazy, man. Crazy, crazy. But opponents of her plan, including Ms. Caldwell, say that building more prisons will not address the need for criminal justice reforms like those happening in other states at the federal level. Alabama can't build themselves out of the crisis that's going on in the prison system, Ms. Caldwell said. She added, we are not saying that we're trying to let every murderer or rapist or even serial killer out of prison. We're asking to give these people a fighting chance. Mr. Caldwell said that it has been easy to persuade inmates to participate in the strike because of poor conditions in the prison. Badly moldy bathrooms, congested space, and dangerous lack of security. We're doing this for us, he said. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. I think this is a pretty good article. Oh, boy. I wish they would do something about this. But unfortunately, we have to do something about this because these people are not going to stop. They are not going to stop, y'all. They not. They just not. They like to do what they want to do. They think they have all the control and the say-so. So, let me see. Who is this? Hold on, y'all. I think I've got a missed phone call from somebody. Okay, I'm good. I wanted to look up this case. Well, I'll do that later. That was a really good case that I read, though. I went to the law library today. Let's see. So this is day three of the protest, y'all. Day three of the protest. You know, I want to see if I can I wonder if I can play some of this on the air, but I don't know if it's going to play into it. It's probably not going to play into the microphone, so y'all won't be able to hear it. Okay, K-Ivy, it looks like she's responded. Let me see. Hold on. What is this? That station, yeah, they did. What are they talking about? Hold on, y'all. I'm sorry. Let's see. All this shit is coming from the gorgeous. Hold on. Give me 1 second, y'all. I guess I got to explain this to people because, I mean, you know what's, you know, like, people really don't believe that I really know how to do all of this shit. I mean, I can expunge records. I did numerous divorce cases. I've won a federal lawsuit. I'm getting ready to litigate another state lawsuit against a police officer. I'm almost certain that I'm going to win that one. I mean, criminal case, I just beat 3 traffic tickets, so on and so forth. Like, people really don't believe that I know how to do this stuff. And then when I try to talk to them to tell them what to do, they don't really get it. You know what I'm saying? And I be trying to tell them what to do. Give me a second, Jimmy. Give me a second, man. I just be trying. Give me a second. Where we at? We're right here. And just be trying to tell them, man. I don't know. They just. Okay, hopefully somebody call in so I can just explain to them what is going on, because I don't, like, people just don't listen. I just don't get this. They just be getting on my nerves with this shit. Anyway, let me go and read y'all this response. I want to see what K.I.V. is saying. This is 2 days ago, so of course she's probably going to deny that the prison's or committing human rights violations. Anyway, let me see. Ivy's office responds to prison protests. Inmate demands are unreasonable, unwelcome, and now and there she go. This is, I want to let y'all know something. This old ass white lady, K. Ivy, old racist ass white lady at that. With blackface, you know, painting her face black, which is derogatory toward black people, making fun of black people and stuff like that. So she got caught. I mean, some photos of her came out of her in blackface, and she denied it initially. She denied it, if I'm not mistaken. Then she came on in public and said she's not that person anymore. She's changed, and so on and so forth like that. Okay, you saying you changed, you know, you're not that person anymore, but you got these motherfuckers on the Alabama parole board denying motherfuckers parole left and right. But you saying you changed. What about these men and women who've been in prison for so long? They say they changed. You don't believe that they changed? This lady's a fucking hypocrite, and all these motherfuckers is working together. I just wish people would do something about this shit. Okay, I got a caller. Give me a second. All right, caller 1551. I'm about to add you, man. Give me 1 second. Yo, what's up? Yes, what's up, man? This is the Supreme Litigant. Welcome to Smart Local Radio, man. How you doing? Say that again.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? I'm sorry. I thought you were a man. I'm sorry. go ahead. Do you have any questions, or did you want to make any comments about anything?
Well, what I wanted to say was that I wanted to enlighten all the people that are listening that KIV is just trying to squabble and find a way to change the narrative around. I'm one of the organizers for the Break Every Chain rally that we just had out in Montgomery on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
She will say anything to try to sound good and appeal to her mm-hmm. audience.
Mm-hmm. She's a politician. But you know that's what they do.
Definitely. So what we have to do is continue to stand strong and stay strong. Guys and women, stay strong on the inside. And we have to wait them out. They're trying to make us fold. They want us to fold so that they can say, you know what, I knew this wasn't going to work. They were just doing it, you know, for a moment. It never works. No, this is going to work. This is a different time. You know, we made sure we planned it very strategically, and we will not fold until they come and sit down and meet us at the table with our demands.
I don't blame you. I have a suggestion for a lot of y'all. A lot of people don't know this stuff, but KIB, of course, she's a public servant. She's a trustee because the Constitution is a trust. And the people who created the Constitution and all of their descendants or whatever, they are the beneficiaries of that trust. KIB and every public servant in Alabama has a bond. That bond is their insurance. Have you ever heard about that before? Okay. do you know where to go to file a claim, or do you know how to file a claim against your public servant bond? Because I know how to do it.
No, I don't. Why don't you enlighten me?
Okay. Just to let you know, this bond, like I said, this is their insurance. They cannot hold public office without this bond. Nobody can. These bonds are located in three places. One is in the Division of Risk Management. The other one is with the Secretary of State. And the third is with the probate judge. So I know all of the bonds for the judges and prosecutors, they are with Risk Management. And I want to say I'm about 99% sure that KIB's bond, all of them, like the parole board, all of these people have bonds. All of them do. They cannot hold public office
without. Okay, you said the judges?
All of them. All of them.
No, I was asking, you said who were in, which ones were in probate court? The judges and.
Oh, I'm sorry. All of the judges, but like the municipal judge, the circuit judge, and the district judge, and the prosecutors, all of their bonds are with Risk Management. The state of Alabama, which is a corporation, the state of Alabama has insurance. They call it a blanket bond, and a blanket, you know what you use to just cover up something. So they call it a blanket bond because it covers a lot of their public servants. And all of the judges, circuit, district, and municipal prosecutors, all of those individuals are public servants. Their bonds are with Risk Management. I have a copy of the bond. It's they don't have an individual bond is what I'm trying to tell you. Some of them do, which is the probate judges. They have individual bonds. And I want to say that the matter of fact, let me read you this statute right now. We're gonna get to the bottom of this. I'm glad you called in, This is how you have to be strategic with these people. They not gonna stop. These people, they are willfully and knowingly participating in a sophisticated form of slavery. That's what they're doing. This is human trafficking. Where's that statue? Here it is, right here. Let me go back to it. Where's it at?
Can I say this so that we can get it on record?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just got a message in that one of our inside organizers, Kinetic Dust, has been assaulted by the riot team, and they placed him in lockup. So I wanted to make sure
that
everyone
that is.
Uh-huh. Okay, so they just assaulted him again. I just got that firsthand and placed him in lockup.
Oh, my boy. Boy, these people here, boy, they don't play fair at all.
Okay, so can I jump off for just a second and let me take care of this, and if I can, jump back on?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. I'll mute your microphone.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Just raise your hand when you want to talk again. All right, I got one caller in. She said she's going to call back. I want to read her something to let her know about these public service bonds. Okay, I know what it is. It's 36-5. Let's see. 36-5-1. Bingo. Here we go, right here. Okay, when she calls back, I have the statute pulled up, so I bring her back in. Let me see. I hope they didn't. I hope I really, really, and truly hope that they didn't assault Kinetic Justice at all. And if they did, just not too bad, because that's a good dude right there. And he actually studies law. He knows what he's talking about, too. Me and him had a conversation before. So he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he is talking about. let me go back here and read this nonsense. Let me see what KIV is talking about. Anyway, just check. Okay. Back here. A spokesperson for KIV's office responded to an ongoing strike among Alabama inmates Monday, calling their demands unreasonable and unwelcome in the state. So let me get this straight. It's unreasonable to demand to be treated like a human being. It's unreasonable to demand that you and these public servants clean this prison up and make it at least humanely for us to live in. You know, we're not asking you to treat us like we're free. You know, we know some of us, belong in here. So to speak. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's unreasonable for me to demand you to be in compliance with the federal constitution and the state constitution. That is unreasonable. That's what she's saying. Anyway, Communications Director Gina Miola said Ivy remains first and foremost committed to ensuring public safety. She said protesters need to understand that many of their demands require legislative action that will never happen in the state of Alabama. How do you know that will never happen? How do you know that? Matter of fact, the fact that she said that says a lot about these public servants. In Montgomery. The fact that she said that. Those demands include asking habitual offender and drive-by shooting laws to be amended, as well as changing sentencing laws, streamlining review processes, and creating a statewide conviction integrity unit to investigate possible cases of wrongful incarceration. Damn right. because they don't care if they don't care if you did the crime or not. They just want you to go to jail. They don't care about none of that shit. As I've said before, I have seen police officers lie under oath. And the judges, they don't care. They try to cover up the tracks. They don't hold them in contempt or none of that shit. Let me go back. Some of these demands suggest that criminals like murderers and serial child sex offenders can walk the streets, and I can tell you that that would never happen in the state of Alabama. Well, we will always prioritize the safety of our citizens, Myla wrote in a statement Monday afternoon. Now, I'm going to say this. I agree with that. If, you know, if they actually committed that crime, you know, I agree with that. But y'all sending motherfuckers to prison for stuff that they didn't even do. They don't even care if you did it or not. I have a cousin right now in prison. He did 10 years. I think he EOS in probably less than 30 days for something he didn't do. They don't care about that. They're going to cover their tracks. They're going to lie. They're going to do whatever it is to make sure that they keep you in prison. That's what they're going to do. If you're listening to the show, man, and you want to call in or you want to say anything, or if you want to talk about something a little off topic a little bit for a little while other than the topic for tonight, you know, just press 1 and then I'll turn your microphone on and we can discuss it. Sorry about that. I had to get me something to drink. Looks like somebody raised their hand. All right.
Hello, Chair.
Caller 6878, you're on the line.
Yes. I was wondering what these bonds do that you were talking about.
These bonds? I am so glad you asked me that. Thank you so much for asking that. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm about to read them to you right now. Give me 1 second. Where is it? Here it is right here. All right. And if you need me to repeat anything, just let me know.
Okay.
Okay. An official bond is an instrument by which a public officer undertakes to pay a sum of money if he or she does not faithfully discharge his or her office, or by which a surety undertakes that if the officer does not do so, the surety will be liable. In other words, this bond is insurance. They cannot hold public office without these bonds.
Mm-hmm.
None of them
can. Okay, I have the bond.
Yes, she has a bond.
She does.
Well, all of them have bonds. All of it. The prosecutors.
No good then.
Say that again.
It's not going to do us any good if she has a bond. You know,
no, this bond, you can file a claim against her bond with an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
When she violates the state constitution, and when she violates the federal constitution, she has breached public office. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all of them have bonds. It works just like, let's say that you're in a car accident. You know, somebody hit your car.
Yeah.
And you want to file an insurance claim against the insurance. In other words, or an insurance claim against their bond. It works just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how it works. And if you get enough people filing claims against her public servant bond, they're going to drop her insurance. And when they drop her insurance, she out. She gone.
Oh, wow. That sounds good. Okay,
none of them. Yeah, none of them can hold public office.
In trouble when he was 20, and he was with a group. He thought a guy was going to hurt him. He grabbed him. He told his friend to get him. He thought he was going to hit him, and the guy stabbed him 3 times. And when my son got up, you know, he was shocked that it had happened. He thought the guy was going to hit him. Well, he left with the group, and they left the scene, but he knew that they was going to get help, you know, for the guy. But anyway, so when they come back, they'd already arrested the other guy's the guy and his wife for something they did in Georgia. And so on trial, my son went to trial to prove his innocence. They brought these guys from Georgia over to testify against my son. They gave him, ended up giving him 35 years for, he didn't even have a weapon on him. And the other guy took the plea bargain and he got 15 years. So my son's been locked up now for 20 years in prison. And if Coyote has a way, he'll be in there for another 14 years.
Yeah, she needs to go. There's a lot of them that needs to go, and all of them, all of them have one.
He tells me how much despair everyone in prison is in right now. They're losing hope because of it doesn't do any good. My son, he went and he did everything he was supposed to do, but it's just not good enough. He's went through every class, he went through everything. And like you said, when it came up, you know, for parole every time, they just knock him down and tell him that, come back in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
arbitrarily denying you parole and all that stuff. The state,
yeah,
the state
mean,
is
you
a.
Think that's right? I mean, someone that's never been in trouble a day in their life, you know, first offense, shouldn't you give them the benefit of the doubt that, maybe he wasn't trying to hurt anybody, you know? I mean, to be
mm-hmm.
locked up 20 years, years ago, they used to give people 7 years for killing somebody, and this man didn't die, and the other two guys that did get, like the one that got stabbed, he overdosed on drugs 6 years ago. The one that did the stabbing, he overdosed on drugs 5 years ago. They're both dead. My son's in there now for what? You know?
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear
talking
that.
About, yeah, it's talking about mistreatment and, being, given some bad stuff. It's been hard. He has identical twin brother, and it's been really hard on him, too. And I've been wanting something like this, and I noticed where the prisons, they took off the blog where people could talk about what was going on in the prison and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I was glad to finally get hooked up with this riot team, protest and to get in there, and it just made me feel good to finally get to say help. it's in dire need, and it's just crazy. They took away good time. My son said if they just put good time back in there, it released these prisoners. Why hold on to them if it ain't for money? Why else you want to hold on to these people?
That's exactly what it's about, because these are...
Yeah, and new prison ain't going to help nothing but her pocketbook. That's all she wants to do.
Yeah.
And the heck with these old prisons and how they look. Just start letting
a lot
them
of
go.
These...
If they've been in there for 10 years and they haven't killed anyone, let them go.
A lot of these judges who sit on these benches, they have, they invest money in these prisons. And so they're not supposed to do that and sit on the bench. That's a conflict of interest because their impartiality is questioned. For them.
Well,
they're
all nasty too, and they sit up there on the parole board like they're all high and mighty God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to the Wizard of Oz when you go there.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard, he's been so good. Please let him go, please. And then they say, he did this. 5 more years.
That's basically
that's
how
it
works.
Like.
Are you aware that these are corporations that you're dealing with, right? That's why they're doing that. The prison, all of them are corporations. The state of Alabama, the Alabama Parole Board, all of them are corporations. They are municipal corporations. They are as I stated before, they are, you probably already know this, but they're participating in a sophisticated form of slavery. That is what they're doing.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And
that's what they're doing. Because
they're all sitting up there like they've never sinned or nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing God up there, you know.
Well, the only ones who can do something.
My son said, "Mother, no matter what you do or what you say, it's not going to do any good. Just like Kay Ivey said, don't let anybody go until 1 year of their sentence." So he got 35 years. That would be 14 more years for him.
That's crazy.
Unless something happens, you know, unless something happens. Can you imagine that? I mean, my son is, he's got a very high IQ. He's probably 130 IQ. He's never even had a date with a girl because he was identical twin. So, you know, he's never done anything. And they want to take away a whole life because of one little mistake.
They don't care if you did it or not.
She made a mistake, didn't she? She wants everybody's apology for what she did. Why should she?
That lady there. These people, they're forgetting their place. And people, when public servants get out of line, it is the responsibility of the people to put them back in line. That is our responsibility. Now, we can peacefully, and if it can't be done peacefully, then it has to be done the other way. That is the only way. That is the matter of fact. I was in a law library today, and I was reading a case from 1867 or something like that, and that's exactly what the judge said in that case.
Mm-hmm.
That
well,
is exactly. No, ma'am.
You're not.
No, ma'am. But I just settled a federal lawsuit. I sued two police officers for unlawfully detaining me. I've done numerous divorce cases. You don't have to go to law school for this stuff. In fact, there were judges on the Supreme Court.
You know, understand law and studied it and stuff. I'm not very well good at it at all. So lead the way.
That's why they don't put this stuff in plain English. If they put what they were doing in plain English, they wouldn't have made it this far.
Yeah. I know. Well, I want to give someone else a chance to talk, but it was nice talking with you, and I just hope and pray that, you know, they're hopeful in there. I hope they don't cave and that they'll just keep on doing this because I believe they're going to get tired. I heard that a couple of wardens was having to serve the prisoners.
Which is good. That's good.
Yeah. And they sure probably don't like being in the kitchen with those rats infested places, you know, where I've heard that they are rats that are eating the food and stuff in there.
They're feeding these people food that's not even for human consumption. I've been to jail before.
My son said, I swear they got, they're feeding us some kind of dog food. It's got little pieces of bone in the meat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing.
It is.
God help
me. The only ones who can do something about it is us. Because these people are not going to stop. They not going to stop.
Yeah.
You have to put pressure on
them. Yeah, well, I think another protest is in, you know, should be in the works. And I just
flood all these courts with so much paperwork. And I file a claim against everybody, public servant bond that I could.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do.
Yeah,
they gonna answer that bond. They gonna answer that bond. Once you get a judgment against them, then you can file a lien against their private property.
Mm. Yeah, it ought to be something, you know, we can do like that.
It is. You can do that.
Reliably.
Anybody can. All civil cases, you're a prosecutor. In any kind of civil case that you file, you're a prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have a right to do that. You have a right to file a petition for a writ of quorum and ask her, by mm-hmm. what authority are you doing this?
I know someone had said something about you have a right to vote in prison, but I don't know about that.
The government cannot give you rights. They're not sovereign. You are sovereign. They don't want to tell you that, but you are sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
They can't give you rights. You give them rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says the Constitution was granted by the people to the government, meaning you granted them certain enumerated responsibilities in that contract, in that trust, because the Constitution is a trust.
Yeah.
And you are the beneficiary of that trust, and they are trustees. They don't want people to know this stuff. But you are sovereign. They can't take you to jail for smoking weed. They can't do that. But they will.
Well, speaking of smoking weed, there's enough drugs in there, and the correction officers are the ones that bring it in there.
Yeah, you know? I already know. I know.
And it's that my son was talking about that one drug that people act so crazy on. Fulton or something like that.
I don't know what it is.
Falker or something like that. But anyway, he said they just get out, they throw up on themselves and everything, and he tells them, don't do it. You know, look how you're acting, and they'll just keep on doing it anyway.
Yeah.
But, they're losing hope in there really fast because of her, and that's enough out there to sue her for. But
thank you
for listening to me. And let somebody else speak.
All right. Thank you for calling in, ma'am. I appreciate it.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right. Let me get me something to drink. All right. I had two callers call in tonight. Two people that actually, wanted to comment. Let me see. I'm getting messages and everything, man. So let me see what's going on. All right. Let me. I want to get back to what I was reading about Kay Ivey. Let's see. Is this? Okay. All right, let me get back to this because I wanted to see what she was talking about. Here we go. Inmates behind the protest say that they want an end to Alabama's systematic denial of human dignity and rights, alleging the Alabama Department of Corrections, which is a corporation, by the way, has done little to address the many issues they face. The lack of action led to a strike at multiple prison facilities in the state Monday as inmates refused to show up to work in prison kitchens, laundry rooms, and janitorial departments. Myola noted the Alabama Department of Corrections Commissioner John Hamm. By the way, John Hamm has a bond. He has a public servant bond. He is a public servant. He is a trustee. You file a claim with his insurance company against his bond when he violates his public office. He's on the contract to faithfully discharge his duties as prescribed to him by the sovereign people of Alabama, because he is not sovereign. You are sovereign. They don't make law. Only sovereigns can make law. Anyway, Commissioner John Hamm has said all facilities remain operational despite the strike, and that Ivy appreciates the correctional staff who work to keep inmates and the public safe. I want to tell y'all something. When you hear the public safe, they're not talking about you, because the word public in law does not mean private. You are private. You are a private citizen. Okay? That is what you are. When you hear the word public, they're talking about the government. That is what they're talking about. I've seen that in dozens of cases. I can pull it up right now if you want me to. But when you hear the word, when you hear them talk about public, they're talking about the government, because you are not public. You are private. Let me get back to reading this. thanks to the Alabama legislature, we can look forward to the construction of new prison facilities that will create all around better conditions to live, work, and rehabilitate. They don't rehabilitate nobody. Mayola said, there has been no governor more focused on improving the state's correction system and bolstering public safety than Governor Ivey. Read more about the Monday strike here. Blah, blah, blah. Let me see. What is this? Mayola's fourth statement. Okay, so she must have, they must have had a press conference on this. So I want to see what she's talking about because a lot of people don't know. And I didn't even read this until now. So I want to see what she's talking about. So I'm going to read it on the air. First, I will point back to the Alabama Department of Corrections Commissioner John Hamm's statement that all facilities are operational and that there have been no disruption of critical services. Governor Ivey is first and foremost committed to ensuring public safety, government safety, plain and simple. When you hear the word public, they mean government. They are not talking about you. This is legalese, ladies and gentlemen. When you hear the word public, they talking about the government, not you. These demands, and matter of fact, let me read this first, and then I'm gonna go in great detail on some shit that y'all probably didn't even know. These demands, as the protesters refer to them, are unreasonable and would flat out not be welcome in Alabama. It is also important for the protesters to understand that a lot of these demands will require legislation, not unilateral action. Some of these demands suggest that criminals like murderers and serial child sex offenders can walk the streets. And I tell you, that will never happen in the state of Alabama, where we will always prioritize the safety of our citizens. So if they always prioritize the safety of their citizens, then why the hell do innocent people go to jail for shit they didn't do? This KIV is a standard politician. She is saying what she is supposed to say and doing not what she is supposed to be doing, basically. She's a politician. She might be an attorney, and I don't trust any attorney. By eight out of 10 of them, I don't trust. So let me go on down. Governor Ivey appreciates the work of the correctional staff, the boots on the ground who would come to work each day to serve the people of Alabama by keeping our inmates and the public safe. Thanks to the Alabama legislature, we can look forward to the construction of new prisons that will create an all-around better conditions to live, work, and rehabilitate. There has been no governor. Okay, well, I already read that. So anyway, this is all standard. This is all standard. So I'm not surprised by any of this shit. But anyway, I want to go and I want to read y'all something. Because I did a show last week, and I was telling people, the name of the show was called The Constitution Does Not Apply to You, and it doesn't, because the Constitution is public law. It's not private law. The Constitution does not say what you or I cannot do. It says what the government cannot do. The reason the Constitution does not say what you or I cannot do is because you're sovereign. You make the law. You tell the government what they can and cannot do. Where is it at? Let me see if I can find this. I probably got to go through a bunch of hoops to find this. Is this it? Well, I already wrote that down. Okay. Y'all give me about 30 seconds. And I want to pull this stuff up for y'all. Okay. Let's see. Here we go, right here. Here we go. Now, I'm just going to read y'all a bunch of these citations from this case. I'm not going to read y'all the whole entire case because it's a lot, but I just want y'all to understand what is going on, because like I've stated, these people are participating in a sophisticated form of slavery. That is what they're doing. they've converted. I can't even find a way to put it into words to where you can understand it. So I'm not going to even comment on it on that part. But I am going to read y'all these cases, these citations from these cases. And if you have any questions, just raise your hand if you don't understand something. This is a case from 1982. The Constitution inhibits government, not private citizens. In other words, the Constitution does not apply to you. It tells the government what they can and cannot do. Okay. However, the Constitution prescribes governmental, not private conduct. I want y'all to understand, when you hear the word private, they're talking about me and you. That's what they're talking about. That's why they call them public servants. And that's why they call it public law or public policy. That's what they mean. The Constitution does not apply to you. It applies to the government. It says what they can and cannot do. Who made the Constitution of Alabama? The people of Alabama. Because the people are sovereign and not public servants. They're not sovereign. They can't tell you what the hell to do. I keep telling people this over and over and over and over and over and over. As a matter of fact, you can't find a judge. I know I can't find a judge in Alabama that will deny on the record that the people of Alabama are sovereign. Go to court. Whenever you go to court, if you go to court and the judge starts calling you names like a sovereign citizen, because they like to use that term to make you think that, you know, to make people think that you're crazy, but you're not. Because I can go to cases in Alabama and the United States Supreme Court and every other state within the union, and all of them going to say that the people are sovereign, because I've already seen these cases. But anyway, go to court in Alabama. Go to any court in Alabama. Make sure it's a court of record, like a district court or a circuit court, and ask that judge if he or she is denying that the people of Alabama are sovereign. And if she or he is denying the people of Alabama are sovereign, will they please admit that on the record? And I bet you they are not going to do that. Ain't none of them going to do that. The prosecutor ain't going to do it. The judge ain't going to do it. They're going to obfuscate. They're going to come up with some other shit and try to get you off point on what you're talking about, because they don't want to see it. Because you're sovereign, and they're not going to tell you that. They don't want you to know that. I'm going to read you a little bit more of this stuff. Until I get some more people in to discuss this this issue with the Alabama prisoners protesting. I have a few people online, but they don't have their hand raised. They just want to listen, so that's cool. Let me go down. Here we go. Let's see. Here's another one. The Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution forbids unreasonable searches and seizures by government actors, not private citizens. There it is again. This is from 2021. This is from last year. This was in a federal court in Oklahoma, Western District, Oklahoma. Here's another one. This one's from 2015, Sawyer versus Jeffrey Smith Auto Group. It says, defendant correctly notes that the United States Constitution regulates only the government, not private actors. When you hear private actors, they're talking about you. The Constitution is public law, not private law. It doesn't apply to you because you're sovereign. I'm going to keep saying this shit until people get it. Also, if you want to learn how to sue these people, I can teach you all that. All that stuff is easy. I do shows once a week for right now, because I'd be really busy. I'm sorry, but I'd be really busy. But I do shows once a week, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. I can do state litigation, meaning state lawsuits and federal lawsuits, expunge records, all that stuff. All of this stuff is easy. Do not let these people intimidate y'all, okay? Don't be intimidated by none of these people. Because these people are not smarter than you. I want y'all to understand that. They just read. That's it. They're not smarter than you. They just read. That's all they do is read. That's it. And that's all I did was read. I got tired of them violating my rights, and I couldn't afford an attorney. So I went to the law library, and I just started reading cases after case after case after case after case after case until it just clicked. One day it just clicked. And it's been clicking ever since. I just beat 3 traffic tickets. I won a federal lawsuit. I've done numerous divorce cases, so on and so forth, but I'm not here to talk about that. I just want y'all to understand that you can do this stuff. Do not let these people intimidate you. You can do this. And also, I'm going to let you know this right now. This is for everybody that's listening, especially anybody that is behind the walls of the slave plantations called prison, because that's what it is. It's a slave plantation, and the warden is the overseer, and the so-called correctional officers are the subordinates of the overseer, in my opinion. If you are not willing to go to jail or be beaten or at least fight in defense of your rights, this shit is not for you, because these people do not play fair, period. They don't play fair. This is a war. That's what this is. And I stand in solidarity with these, with the prisoners of Alabama, the people, the men and women in Alabama. I stand in solidarity with them. I'm not rich, but I will make donations, to try to get them some food if I can. If you're listening and if you need any food, anything like that, let me know and I'll make contributions so y'all can get y'all something to eat, which I doubt they'll even do that, because you have to order that shit and they might have suspended that and so on and so forth. But y'all, the protest is not going unheard, is what I'm trying to say. That's why I did this show tonight. Let me go back. I'm going to read some more of these cases. I really need people to get this. These constitutional restraints on governmental power are not applicable to private citizens. This is from, what is this? This is in bankruptcy court. This is from 2010. Let's see. Here's another one, the same thing. It's in the Ninth Circuit, which is a federal court. The restraints set forth in the United States Constitution generally bind only government actors, excluding private actors from its reach, which meaning private actors are me and you. It doesn't apply to you, man. It applies to them. It's a trust. This is what happened, man. When the people, when these people came over here and they took the land, that's what they did. They weren't given this land. They took this shit. They call it title by conquest. That's what they did. But when they came over here and they took this land, they put this land in a trust for their benefit and their children's benefits, so to speak. And so what they put in trust is this entire land, the water on the land, the fish in the water, the trees on the land, the minerals, the resources that are in the ground on the land, all of that shit is held in trust. All of it. And they said, okay, look, we'll let you, govern us, but you're going to govern us on these terms. We're going to grant you certain privileges. These are not rights. These are privileges. We're going to grant you certain privileges, and we can take these privileges back whenever we want. Also, just to let y'all know, since the people are sovereign, the people do not, and I repeat, do not need state legislature permission to change the Constitution. Only state legislatures, they can only propose amendments and submit those amendments to their masters for approval. The masters being the people. If these public servants were sovereign, they wouldn't need your permission to amend the state constitution. The reason they need your permission is because they are public servants. They are not sovereign. You are sovereign. And they don't want to tell y'all this shit. But anyway, the people can change the constitution whenever they want. Right now, if the people of Alabama say, you know what? I don't like this constitution. I don't like the way this government is run. I want to change this. So let's go ahead and get together and let's just change this. And then that's it. Now it probably won't be that easy, because these people don't rule by consent. They rule by force and fraud and manipulation and so on and so forth like that. But generally you get what I'm trying to say. The people are sovereign. They can change the constitution whenever they want. I just read a case today from 1867 or something like that. And it basically said the people can change the Constitution basically in two ways. They had a right to change the Constitution in two ways, by the way that they prescribed in the Constitution when they wrote it, or through revolution. That's what the Supreme Court held in Alabama. I had to write that case down when I saw that. That's crazy, but sometimes that's what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. And they just don't play fair. Hold on, y'all. Let me see. I got some people messaging me. I'm sorry. Let me see. Who is this? Oh, that's good. This is another Zoom call. It's being shared on Facebook right now. They live, and they talking about the protests in Alabama, which is good. Everybody needs to stand together, man. This is what these people who are perpetuating these human rights violations, whatever, they all working together, man. They all working in concert. All of them are working in cahoots. They all working together, so we need to do the same thing. That's exactly what we need to do. The same exact thing. To everybody that's listening, I need jailhouse lawyers to contact me. And we all need to get together and work on class action lawsuits, injunctions, and to file claims against these public servant bonds. That's what we need to do. We need to cost these people money. That's what we need to do. So to everybody that's listening, my email address is smartloketv@gmail.com. I'm sorry. And that is smartloktv, like television, @gmail.com. Email me, call, matter of fact, let me see. I'll give you my business number. My business number is 251-272-0878. That's 251-272-0878. That is a business line. If I don't answer, just leave me a voicemail or send me a text or something like that, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. It's not my personal line. It's my business line. But contact me there, and we can go from there. I personally know that I've actually talked to two of them that were in prison, and they are pretty good jailhouse lawyers. Well, I know one of them is. The other one, we had a conversation. I just assumed that he is because the conversation that we had, we understood each other and the legalese behind, the terminology behind what we were talking about. Let me get back to this. Give me one second. Let me see. What is this? Here it is right here. There we go, right there. I think this one is pretty good, and people need to read this. This is from Skyler versus Entry of Ventures, LLC. This is in 2022. It says, constitutional rights protect against actions by the state, not by private actors. Thus, only state actors may violate constitutional rights. Yep, that is right there. The Constitution is public law, not private. It doesn't apply to you. It applies to public servants. It says what they can and cannot do, not you. So let me, I just want to bring this to y'all attention, man. So if the supreme law of the land, which is the Alabama Constitution, does not apply to you, then what makes you think statutes apply to you? They're not going to tell you that these statutes don't apply to you, man. But they don't. They don't apply to you. They apply to their subjects, and you're not a subject. You're sovereign. How can you be a subject and you be sovereign at the same time? It doesn't make no sense. That's what they like to use this term with the sovereign citizen. A sovereign citizen is a misnomer. It's something that somebody, I don't know who did it, but they came up with it to obfuscate or to make people seem crazy or to avoid the issue of you being sovereign, or so to speak. That's what they like to do. Let me go back. Let me see. In a case, that ain't it. That ain't it. I don't know. Well, y'all get the idea. The Constitution is public law. Y'all get the idea. But anyway, let me. I'm about to get on Facebook and see what is going on with this protest. Because I am very, very, very proud of everybody that are protesting, the prisoners. I'm rooting for you, man. I'm rooting for y'all, man. That's him right there, yeah. Let me see. I'm reading something. It says they assaulted Robert Earl and locked him up today. Okay, so they assaulted somebody who's protesting. That's too far. I mean, let me go back down. I'm sorry. Attachment. Now, that's what I like to see. 12, can't lie. Okay. Okay, so somebody sent a video of the correctional officers. It looks like the correctional officers are outside picking up the trash instead of the so-called prisoners. I really don't like using that term, prisoners. But somebody sent a video and posted it on Facebook. They're out there cleaning up their own prisoners, you know, prisons, while the protesters of their conditions are not working and not doing anything. And rightfully so. I don't blame them. Let me see. Where can I? Matter of fact, I want to read y'all some excerpts from my ebook, because in my ebook, I wrote an ebook. It's called The Law of the 11th Circuit, 42 Section 1983. It basically teaches you how to sue the police, warden, or whoever in federal court. It teaches you how to do it. It's 27 pages. It's short and straight to the point. And I made it as simple as possible so that it pretty much, hopefully, anybody could understand it. But I want to read y'all some excerpts from here based on the 8th Amendment, because this relates to the prisons. So let me go down here. Let's go down. Here we go. Okay. Let's see how much time I got. Probably got about 20 minutes, maybe. Yeah, I got about 36 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. So I'll go ahead and talk about that. If y'all have any questions, you know, just raise your hand and I'll turn your microphone on. If not, I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into the book. I'll be back to periodically check to see if anybody has their hand raised, if they have any questions, or if they want to comment about anything. So if you hear me reading something and you want to know more about it and you don't understand it, just let me know and we'll discuss it. You know, I'll turn your microphone off. So I'm going to go back to the book. Okay. The prison, they call this the Prison Litigation Reform Act. And when they came up with this, in my opinion, this was a tactic to stall and delay and possibly prevent people in prison from filing federal lawsuits against these the warden and the correctional officers. That's what they did, because pursuant to this the Prison Litigation Reform Act, you are required to exhaust all of your administrative remedies before you file your lawsuit in federal court. And if you don't, they're going to dismiss your lawsuit. However, there are exceptions to that, meaning that you are required to exhaust your administrative remedies except under these circumstances. That's what they mean by the word except. So let's go here. And I'm glad that they came up with these exceptions. But here's one exception. Availability. It says the Supreme Court explained a few exceptions to the exhaustion requirement at section 1997 EA. An inmate need exhaust only such administrative remedies as are available, meaning that the only administrative remedies that you are required to exhaust before filing your lawsuit is whatever that they have available. And if it's not available, then you're not required to do it. They've also came up with cases to where they concluded that even though that they had administrative remedies for you to exhaust, that these administrative remedies led you to a dead end. And since they led you to a dead end, they deemed these remedies, these administrative remedies as unavailable. That's what they did, which is pretty good in my opinion. let's go here. Here are a few cases where courts deem administrative remedies unavailable, then reverse the judgments of the lower district courts. We have said that an administrative remedy is not available if it is unknowable to the inmate. Excuse me, y'all. Let me get some water. My mouth is getting dry. One second. Sorry about that. And then I cite the case in support of that citation that I just read to you. Other courts have said that administrative remedies are not available to an inmate if prison officials do not respond to grievances or if they prevent the filing of grievances. And there's another one, which was a federal case, by the way. Give me a second, y'all. All these people working, but they're getting on my nerves. I never get any phone calls until I get online. That's when everybody want to start calling me and asking me all these questions, when I get online. Okay. The failure to respond to a grievance within the time limits contained in the grievance policy renders an administrative remedy unavailable. So that's a good one, too. The reason why they're coming up with these is because these things happen. You know, they like to stall and delay and prevent you from doing these administrative remedies from complaining and reporting these correction officers, and which it needs to be done because they just out of line. let's go back down. We believe that a remedy that prison officials prevent a prisoner from utilizing is not an available remedy. A prisoner is only required to exhaust grievance procedures that are capable of use to obtain some relief for the action complained of. The court noted as relevant here three kinds of circumstances in which an administrative remedy, although officially on the books, is not capable of use to obtain relief. One, when the procedure operates as a simple dead end with officers unable to consistently unwilling to provide any relief to aggrieved inmates. Two, when the administrative scheme is so opaque that it becomes, practically speaking, incapable of use. And three, when prison administrators thwart inmates from taking advantage of grievance process, I don't even know what that word says. What are they trying to say? This must be like an error. I must have spelled this word wrong. But anyway, through misrepresentation, which means they lie about something, or intimidation. In layman terms, the administrative procedure must offer the possibility of some relief for the action complained of, or it will be deemed as unavailable. So that's just a list of it. Let me see. Now I want to read to y'all. I'm not going to read y'all this whole case, but I'm going to read y'all an excerpt from this ebook that tells you the severity, the importance of these two cases that I'm about to mention to y'all. So when you're talking about Eighth Amendment jurisprudence, these two cases are always going to pop up when you're talking about prisoners. And that is Estelle versus Gamble, which is in 1976, and Former versus Brennan, which is in 1994. Both of these cases, I want y'all to hear me when I say this, both of these cases have been cited over 45,500 times each, according to casetext.com, which is where I do my legal research at. Estelle involved the health of a prisoner, and Former involved the safety of a prisoner. Okay. Both are Eighth Amendment cases relating to prison officers, prison conditions, and the treatment of prisoners. There we go. Okay. In this ebook, I've cited some pretty good cases. by the way, if anybody wants a copy of this ebook, any you know, jailhouse lawyer, or whatever you want, if you want a free copy of this ebook, all you gotta do is just let me know. You know, let me know, and I'll send it to your email. I'll send you the PDF formats for the law dictionaries. And if you have any questions about it, all you gotta do is call me or whatever, text me, whatever. Find any kind of way to get in contact with me, and then when I contact you back, we'll discuss it. I decipher everything that you might not understand in that ebook. But that book, y'all, that's going to tell you how to do what you need to do. I promise you that, because that book got me, me knowing what I know, has gotten me placed on a do not detain list. I've personally been detained by police officers. These officers have told me that I have numerous outstanding capious warrants, but they're not taking me to jail. So I'm convinced that has happened to me numerous times. That has happened to me in numerous cities. It happened to me, sheriff, a state trooper. I want to say that's it. I think that's it. But when they run my name and they figure out who I am, they just let me go down. They don't even want to deal with it because I'm going to cost them a lot of money, a whole lot. Anytime they do anything to me, I'm going to cost them money. If they take a pair of my socks without my permission, I'm suing them. I don't care what it is. This book is, y'all need this book, man. Y'all really need this book. Why is all these people messaging me? This is, hold on, let me see something, y'all. Give me a second. Okay, I'm going to read this message. Looks like I'm going to read y'all some comments from the people protesting. It says, we must stay strong and keep pushing. Please understand, you got a rat. You got rat inmates working hard to end the shutdown. They play on both sides, so be aware. This is the reason Robert Earl is in lockup. Just to let y'all know, I'm going to read that to you again. We must all stay strong and keep pushing. Please understand, you got rat inmates working hard to end the shutdown. They play on both sides, so be aware this is the reason Robert Earl is in lockup. Free Robert Earl, man. I know Robert Earl. That's a very smart dude, man. Kinetic. Me and him had a conversation. That's a very smart man. We had a conversation probably a couple of years ago, actually. I haven't talked to him since, but free him. If he knew I was online right now talking about this, he would be on the phone talking to me right now if he knew that. I wish I had a way to get in contact with him other than sending a letter. Yeah, they're probably not going to even give him that letter. Anyway, let's see. It's limitations. Statute to complain. We'll talk about that later. But I just want y'all to understand these cases. These cases and what's going on in Alabama. Right now, let's see. I think I probably got about maybe 23 minutes. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to get online. I'm going to get on Google and I'm going to read some more of these articles in Alabama for the protest in prison. Come on, computer. Let's see what we got. Let me see if I have any updates. If not, I'm going to go back on Facebook and get some more updates in. Also, I just want to let y'all know all power to the motherfucking people. You hear me? All power to the people. All power to the people. Second day protest, 23 hours. Okay, I think this is the one that I read earlier. Yeah, that's the one I read earlier. So, all right, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to get in the group. And I'm going to read some messages, see what is going on. Also, if y'all want to follow this, you know, this story about the protests that are going on in on the slave plantations called you know, correctional facilities in Alabama. Y'all can follow Alabama Prison Advocacy and Incarcerated Families United on Facebook. Join that group, and they'll let you know what's going on. Let's see. I need to get a copy of this to see what their demands are, because they have demands. And look, man, I don't blame these. I don't blame the men and women prisoners who have any, you know, for having these demands. Because when you go to jail, man, when you go to prison, or when you go to the county jail, you are a slave, man. You are a slave. You are property. That's how they treat you. So I don't blame them for wanting to repeal the habitual, well, I think it's the Habitual Offender Act. I don't blame them for that, because it increases their prison sentences. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what it does. But it needs to be repealed, because these judges, man, they'll hand down an illegal sentence in a heartbeat. If you go on to trial, any type of, I don't care if it's a misdemeanor, if you're going to trial and you don't have an attorney, they're going to violate your rights left and right. Even if you do have an attorney, especially a public defender, they about to violate your rights left and right. I want to let y'all know something here, man, because they do work together. They work together. The public defender and the prosecutor, you know, they're working together. And I'm going to tell you how. And why I know this, because I was a prosecutor in my federal lawsuit case. Any type of civil case that you file in court, you are a prosecutor. That's why they'll dismiss your case if you don't prosecute your case. They call it dismissal for want of prosecution, because you are a prosecutor. So when I filed my lawsuit against these police officers last year, when I filed my lawsuit against them, that attorney, whoever they hired, he had to send me everything that he was trying to get admitted into evidence, and I had to review it, you know. And me and this man, we had to have conversations, you know, about how we're going to settle the case, you know, which cause of action was, you know, I would probably dismiss that one, or which affirmative defense that he would probably withdraw, so on and so forth like that. So they're working together. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't know this, but a plea agreement is a contract, okay? And once that plea agreement is signed, the judge overall, generally speaking, they have to accept that plea agreement. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is when you are a defendant in a case and you are talking to the prosecutor, you know, trying to come to a so-called agreement or a settlement, you know, for this so-called charge against you, which is a tax, because a criminal charge is a tax, but they're not going to tell y'all that. But anyway, when you're trying to come, you know, with an agreement with him or her, this agreement is considered a contract. And since it's considered a contract, it's governed by the general principles of contract law. I've read that in cases in Alabama. You know, it's what it is. All right. I have a little more time, so I think I'll stay on for probably about 5 more minutes. If I don't get anybody to raise their hand, then I'll go ahead and end the show for tonight. But I do want to thank people for calling and listening and supporting the movement. Let's see. Okay. Okay. All right. Damn right. I'm going to help them. All right, y'all. Give me 1 second, y'all. Let me get me a little snack. I'm hungry. Y'all won't hear me chewing on the microphone, but just give me a second. Sorry about that, y'all. Oh boy, had to get something, put something on my stomach. They've been live. Okay, this looks like they've been live for about 30 minutes, maybe. That's what it looks like. Yeah, they have. Okay. Okay. Well, I think I had a pretty good show tonight. Boy, I can't find any more articles on this, but here's what I will do, y'all. I will be covering this story, and I'll also be answering other questions that are not relevant to this, but are relevant, you know, I mean, but are helpful to some people, meaning like if you have questions about lawsuits and stuff like that, I'll be answering those questions. But right now, you know, for the next couple of weeks, or at least for as long as the duration of this protest, I will be covering this story just to let all my listeners know what's going on. So next week, I will be back again at same time, 6 o'clock. I might do an hour or 2 hour show. I'm not sure, but I will be back next week. Same time. So, everybody, again, thank you for listening and thank you for calling. I'm going to go ahead and end the show tonight. And, on that note, before I end the show, all power to the people, all power to the people, all power to the motherfucking people. The Supreme Litigant is out. Thank you for listening to Smart Look Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Peace.